We're happy to welcome to the show for this morning in this 8 o'clock hour, Napa Mayor Jill Teckel, our guest in studio. Thanks for being here.
Oh, yes. It's like old times being back here. Actually, not. I was thinking back when I was on the school board, I used to come in and do the radio. And I don't even remember who the guy was that was interviewing, but they did all call in back then, and the Taxpayers Association would sort of line up by their phone and so ask all these technical financial questions.
Yes.
So you had to be really prepared and understand your budget when you came on in those days.
Which, you know, I guess we expect that from you.
Yes,
right. Prepared to know your budget.
Right, right. Line 37.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Yeah. So let's sort of take a ramble through some of your impressions and feelings with the election now complete, and it's clear who will be joining the council. We have this, as far as I know, first ever scenario of 4 out of 5 council members will be women.
Yeah.
What are your feelings about all that?
Yeah, that's exciting. First of all, I wrote down about the weather. I appreciate getting the rain. Thank you for putting that in the forecast. I did see it was more than just your forecast.
Yes.
But pleased for Saturday is going to be the parade. So pleased that the chance is slight then. Mm-hmm. So let's get the rain and then be able to have all the kiddos in the parade. That's kind of a fun way to begin the holidays.
And you have the tree lighting on Wednesday.
Tree lighting's on Wednesday, and we can do that with umbrellas. We've
yeah.
done that before, and that one's a pretty quick get out, and it gets the kids out of the house with mom and dad. They have a cup of cocoa. Probably 10 years ago, we would do that, and they would maybe give away 100 cups of cocoa. I think they're up to 500-600 now.
Yeah.
A lot of people come down just to have that. And even, with all the awful stuff that's been happening, community feels good when they get together. There's a sense of we're connected and we'll get through this together. So
exactly.
It's nice to do that.
Coming together is very important.
So, 4 women. We did have 3 for a while when Doris, Julie, and I, and then Julie moved and we brought Jim. But, 4 women is amazing. Great. I mean, the 2, Liz and Mary, are going to be such amazing additions. I'm really excited. Why'd they win? They campaigned. They did what you need to do, especially in Napa, and commit to meeting as many people as you can and walking door to door, talking to people. So they're going to come in, energized from an election, but also very informed and very in tune with what they see the community is, questions the community is asking and what they're looking for. So, yeah, that will be it. They will, I think, Monday the 3rd, they'll get sworn in, and then we'll start the regular council meetings the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll give them, a day to celebrate and be with their friends and family and then bring them in. Yeah, so it's 4 women and the retired fire guy.
So. Seeing as how there were 2 Latino candidates in the race and neither one got elected, when we were talking with the candidates, Ricky Hurtado and, of course, Bernie Narvaez, part of their campaign was that the city should have a Latino representative. There should be representation for the Latino community on the council. The question I asked a couple of times was, do you feel like the current council or past councils have not represented the Latino community? So I guess the question becomes now, having had those candidates in the race, even though they didn't succeed, what can you do as mayor? What can the council do in general to make sure that the Latino voice is heard?
It's multifaceted. There's a lot that we can do and a lot that we should do and some things that we need to figure out how to do better. We're just appointed in a portion of the general plan citizens committee. And first of all, really went out and said on this citizens committee, I want to be sure that we have problem solvers. I want to be sure we have people who have shown collaboration in the community. You know, rather than saying, who are you going to represent? I wanted it to be people that had been in difficult situations and found sort of a common ground with people. And so I was thrilled when John Glazier applied because, you know, he's the epitome of all that. But lots of other good people. But one thing, out of the 66 applications we had, only one was Hispanic. And so when I said there are things we have to do differently, we have to think about recruitment in as we go forward with these kind of appointments to be sure that we say we're open, but we've got to do more. We've got to do other things. So we did interview the candidates, a group of candidates a few weeks ago, and it was Scott's and my recommendation that we only appoint 13 of the 15 and leave the two spots open. And it was our thought that if Ricky or Bernie didn't make the city council, that we could then appoint them to the citizens committee. So we, you know, they've been out, they understand the community, they're ready to give service. They've both said, you know, that they would be open to doing that. So I think at the first city council meeting in December, we'll appoint them to the citizens committee. So they'll stay, be visible, and help us do those things as they work on the general plan about being sure that we're representing a very large segment of our community.
Mm-hmm. And since we've gotten on to that topic, let's stay on the general plan for a minute. Give a thumbnail sketch for people listening if they aren't familiar with what it means, why it matters, and what the timeline of it is, and so forth. What is the general plan? Why does it make a difference?
Well, the general plan is the document that guides the city. We do one every 20 years, and we need to go back, reassess what we've done, where the zoning is. So it's where the zoning is. Where should housing go? Where should commercial go? Where should hotels go? I think that would be a very a lot of people will be interested in that conversation. You know, what do we have to think about in the future for parks? What do we have to think about for water? All these things go into understanding where you're going. And then getting the right product for Napa. So it's the planning document that then developers will come to town and say, well, you know, I want to put – it was like when Mike DeSimone came to town to build his project – we'd already decided it was going to be commercial. We'd already decided the kinds of things we were looking for with the community. And then when you bring for a developer comes forward, you're able to say, yeah, that meets our community's vision. So it is important. It's how much are we going to grow? Where are we going to put densities? All those will be part of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been around long enough. I've been around long enough. ABAG will give us a set of numbers, and we need to plan in order to house for those numbers. And 20 years ago, ABAGs gave us numbers, and they're way too high, and we're going to fight those numbers, and we don't want to grow this big. We don't want to put in the number of housing units. And they were like 2,000 to 3,000 for like a 7-year cycle. So the housing numbers were big back then. But now the communities like going, housing's our biggest need. So what are we going to do for housing, and how are we going to accommodate the our sons and daughters and families that need to live here, want to live here, should live here? You know, the idea that you can live close to where you work for the quality of life is really important. So those are the things that we'll look at when we start the general plan.
Mm-hmm. You know, the bottom line question eventually becomes, and we're getting creeping closer to it all the time, is there a point at which the city of Napa is full, where it's at capacity in terms of where you can put housing, how many cars can navigate the streets the way they are? I was having to my chagrin, I got caught up in a Facebook comment string about traffic and zoning and planning and growth and things like that. And we all know that population and business follows bigger roadways. And if we eventually get to a point of saying, well, this two lanes can't handle it anymore. And if we're going to keep going this path, it's got to be four lanes. And then you open a whole new chapter of development when you make those kind of decisions. It's getting tougher, isn't it?
In some ways, it's getting tougher. I think the density. People are more understanding of density. You know, you say, when's a city done? And you look at San Francisco and you go, well, you had it. You're done, right? But they find ways to rebuild and to add housing. They're by transit, so they really do have an ability to have housing and have people get to jobs pretty easily. We're not. We're uniquely us with the ag preserve. You know, at one point when you talk about growth, and you remember the conversations about we're going to be just like San Jose if we don't watch it. So we have our values, and our values are the rural urban line around the city and the ag preserve. So those guide us. We need to make some accommodations for some housing. But we need to figure out the right housing. We need housing for people that are working here. Really pleased. We were talking about the election. It looks like Measure F for the city of Napa, the 1% increase on TOT, that will go to help us with housing projects. And we put in there, we used to do just low and very low, put in there the moderate. So up to 120% of medium, we'll be able to create some programs to be sure that our workforce is able to find housing. You know, there was the assumption that if you made 120% of medium, that you could afford market rate. And those are not in alignment. Mm-hmm. And so we have to rethink how we help provide housing for the workforce.
The scale is really out of whack these days. I mean, you literally would have people qualifying for some kind of housing assistance who might be making twice the national household income, literally.
Yeah.
Twice, and yet not able to just afford a market rate home.
Well, and, you know, the housing, it was interesting, as I belong to the U.S. Mayor's Council, and we, you know, all over the country, they're talking about housing.
Yeah.
And so we think it's here, and people come to me, what have you done wrong, Jill? We have this, you know, there's just not enough housing. And I said, well, it is a problem. We're working on it. We have a lot of stuff in the pipeline. But it's not just here. It's all over the country. Yeah. Other than I did go to Flint, Michigan. I'm co-chairman of the U.S. Mayor's Water Council. And we went to Flint, Michigan to really hear their story and to go to a city that at one point was 200,000 and is now less than 100,000. You kind of say, okay, if we could just move people, there's housing here, and they have worked through their water issues. Mm-hmm. You know, the mayor there's got a lot of heart, a lot of drive to bring mm-hmm. her community back. It's a challenge, though.
Yeah, I made a semi-facetious comment to somebody not too long ago about at some point. Do you actually see, I'm not asking you this question, but at some point do we actually get to a place where the best government management of population and crowding and housing issues is to pay people to leave? You know, it's an incentive. You know, if you are interested in moving to another state, here's X dollars to assist you in that process, because you're never going to be able to accommodate everyone in expensive parts of the country.
Yeah, and I mean, just in some ways, when dealing with homeless, they will have those conversations,
sure.
Especially if they have family in another part of the country and can get them to their family, and their family will take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's an expense that helps solve the problem.
And, you know, and truthfully, there's working people who are struggling. And they may feel a little stuck, you know, like, this is the job I have. This is the place I have to live. I don't have money, you know, saved up to move on. I don't have an employer who's going to move me. But I would like to go to Vegas, or I would like to go to Boise or wherever and, you know, start over and do something different at a lower cost of living. But you can't even do it because you don't have any, you know, savings to draw on to make that change. I think it's a future program. I think there's a
I can see where that could, especially having seen the housing stock in Flint. There's quite a bit there.
Right,
there's
exactly.
Just quite a bit there. And I don't want to gloss over. Traffic is worse. You know, I used to, when I first moved here, I lived in Napa and worked in Vallejo, and that was before they built the bridge, and so you could only come in through Soskal,
yeah,
and
right.
It was Friday was just a slug getting into town, and then they opened the new Southern Crossing, and it became so much better. And now, during parts of the day, it's back to being that slog, bumper-to-bumper slog. And so we need to work with our partners in American Canyon and countywide. We've got some projects. You know, we kept the gas tax, so that funding's still available for projects. So we're going to be able to move ahead and get some of those projects done that hopefully will keep the traffic moving a little better.
We're talking with Napa Mayor Jill Teckel a couple of weeks after the recent elections, and now that we know the composition of the incoming city council. We have so many topics to talk about. Before we take a news break, one more quick one. Let's focus on the city manager for just a moment. Steve Potter has taken that position on an interim basis after the retirement of Mike Parnes. There are a lot of people who have suggested Steve might make a pretty good manager permanently. What's the status on that?
Yeah, I agree with them. He came in, really had a desire to try and do it. He wanted to different look at government work if he was going to stay in government work. And he has been amazing. You know, came in, everybody kind of trusts Steve. You know, if you get along with Steve if you're honest and if you're giving your best effort for the city as a whole. And those are his values. And those values make for a well-run city. He's got his values intact. So we were looking to wait until the new council got elected, felt before we made a permanent decision, we should do that. And I think probably before the end of the year, we'll do a closed session and see where the council wants to go. But I would recommend that we move forward and make him permanent.
Mm-hmm. And as far as I can read the tea leaves, I don't see any objection to that.
I have not heard of any objection. It was kind of nice that we had this little time to see him in place. Mm-hmm. People who said, I don't know if you can make the transition from a police chief to a city manager have seen that indeed he can do that and do it beautifully.
Yeah.
So,
and, you know, for all intents and purposes, in a pretty good place for a transition financially, the city's in good shape?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, and yeah, we'll have more. Dorothy Roberts has announced that she's leaving, and so we will have a new city clerk, Tiffany Carranza, who was a deputy. We have appointed and going to officially appoint her. So we're making that transition. We'll be interviewing next week for the community development director. Rick Tooker has retired, and so we will be looking at filling that. So we've got some holes, but you're right. You kind of get a whole new team going, and there's energy and fresh eyes, and that's all good.
Napa Mayor Jill Teckel is with us in this hour. We'll take a break here. More to come in just a moment.
This holiday season, load up on the tech you want with the prices you've been waiting for at Nissan's year-end event. Hurry in for big holiday savings on our entire lineup featuring our most popular models like Altima, J.D. Power's highest-ranked midsize car in initial quality, plus Rogue and the powerful Titan, backed by America's best limited truck warranty. Shop your local Nissan store and choose Nissan.com today.
For a limited time, get a low $199 per month lease on the 2018 Nissan Rogue.
But hurry, this event ends soon. Now the most exciting tech you own is in your driveway.
For well-qualified buyers, $44.99 initial payment for 36 months on 2018 Rogue. Excludes tax, title, and license. Call 1-888-858-8319 for limited warranty information and offer details. For J.D. Power 2018 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Ends 12/3/18.
Community Grapevine.
Dr. Christine Gross with the Napa Valley Unified School District, where all schools promote college and career readiness. Open enrollment and registration for transitional kindergarten and kindergarten October 1st through November 30th. Register at your school of residence. Families interested in requesting a magnet, New Tech High, or other district school, grades TK through 12. Complete an open enrollment application online at nvosd.org. Remember, October 1st through November 30th.
If you've dropped your smartphone or tablet and cracked a screen, bring it to Computer Engineering Group. They can repair it for you. Computer Engineering Group provides the most complete line of full services, including IT solutions. Need a new server, network monitoring, or a backup solution? Computer Engineering Group can handle it for you. They also repair Apple and PC computers. NAPA's one stop for IT services, computer, and smartphone repair is Computer Engineering Group. Call 833-CEG-9701.
I'm going to tell you a story
about how the drug war in Mexico began.
And who was boss.
Only on Netflix.
Miguel Felix Gallardo.
Drug kingpin of Guadalajara.
We take out Felix, we cripple the Mexican drug trade.
Witness the birth of Mexico's drug war.
Got to take down the ones calling the shots.
It's time to take the gloves off.
Gallardo crosses the DEA for the last time tonight.
Narcos Mexico, now streaming on Netflix.
Celebrate the holidays in Yountville with a full calendar of events, activities, and performances for all ages through January 1st. Events include free carriage rides, free holiday movies at the Lincoln Theater, chocolate ornament decorating, Santa's workshop, free photos with Santa, and much more. Go to Yountville.com for the full calendar of events. Come stroll through town and celebrate the splendor of the season in the brightest town in Napa Valley. It's holidays in Yountville.
The A&W in St. Helena is now serving fresh baked blueberry and cranberry orange scones for breakfast. Or try a signature buttermilk biscuit with sausage gravy or a half-pound breakfast burrito with a variety of hot or iced coffee drinks. Breakfast is served hot, fast, and fresh Monday through Friday, 6 to 11 a.m. and on Saturday and Sunday, 7 to 11 a.m. Stop by for a delicious quick breakfast only available at your local A&W in St. Helena.
Prices may vary. Tax extra.
I'm Nate Campbell, updating you on some stories we are following in the KVON newsroom. Many of you getting ready to plane, train, or automobile it out of town for the holiday weekend. AAA's Tamara Johnson says this will be the busiest Thanksgiving week for travelers in 13 years.
We are projecting that about 54 million Americans will travel 50 miles or more away from home. Bad news here is that travelers will be paying the highest gas prices since 2014. Seen over the past few weeks that prices have steadily been dropping.
Johnson says if you're driving, she recommends avoiding the early evening rush hour tomorrow and Wednesday. Napa County and the city of Calistoga have tentatively reached an agreement on a Napa County Fairgrounds deal. The city would purchase 34.4 acres of the 70.6 acre county fairgrounds property, $225,000 per acre for a portion of the property that includes Calistoga Speedway, the RV Park Pavilion, Butler Pavilion, Tubbs Building, Crop Building, and Great Lawn. Napa County will retain ownership of the remaining 36.3 acre portion of the property, which includes Mount St. Helena Golf Course and the Tucker Building. Lots of talk about downtown Napa, changes, growth. The legendary Shackford's. You might have spent some money there for cooking and kitchen needs. Did you know it was recently sold after 43 years of Shackford ownership? Patrick Merkley is the new owner.
Yeah, I was really surprised when I started working in the store on a day-to-day basis how many people come in and how many transactions they are. You know, the thing about Amazon is we are asked about that all the time. It's really about the experience and the shopping experience. And when people come to Shackford's, they're looking for that treasure hunt, finding that special item. Everybody seems to come in and buy, for one thing, and buy several things. Mr. Shackford was extremely knowledgeable and his daughters and the staff there in providing people with what they really needed, not necessarily what they wanted to buy, but what they needed.
The Merkleys plan to keep all the charm of the store while making a few updates, including new lines of artisanal products and adding a demo kitchen in the back of the store where they will offer catering services, cooking classes, and product demos. Napa in the North Bay, you are up to date. I'm Nate Campbell. That's the news.
This holiday season, we invite you to share the magic as we enliven your heart and send your spirits high. Join us for Transcendence's Broadway Holiday Spectacular at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts in Santa Rosa and Lincoln Theater in Napa Valley. Broadway performers bring new songs, revamped holiday favorites, and pop songs with a festive new twist to the Broadway Holiday Spectacular. This reimagined show will be your family's favorite new tradition.
It's time to reawaken the magic. It's time to share the spirit of the season. It's time to share the holidays together. The Broadway Holiday Spectacular opens November 30th through December 7th. Reserve your seats now at BroadwayHolidayShow.com.
Your imagination and our possibilities are limitless at 707 Embroidery Zone. We are your local promotional product company offering more than embroidery, from screen-printed apparel, vinyl signs, to a wide range of promotional products. At 707 Embroidery Zone, we provide our customers with the highest quality products and excellent customer service. Visit the new 707 Embroidery Zone showroom at the Napa Valley Commons to see and touch samples, or visit our website at embzone.com. That's embzone.com.
Mercedes-Benz of Fairfield, your local Mercedes-Benz dealer. The very finest in cars, SUVs, vans, local staff, locally owned. You want to head in and get a car, you find Danny, he'll sell you a car. Todd's in charge of vans. Crystal will help you out in the boutique, my favorite spot to hang out. And Justin, of course, the head of all sales. All fantastic people, locals, locally owned. Our owner lives right here in the Napa Valley. And of course, Christmas is coming, and that means you could get in there now and get a mini Mercedes-Benz electric vehicle or maybe a sled. They have so much to offer, and a brand new remodeled showroom like none you've ever seen before. Just 15 minutes across Jameson Canyon, hit Highway 80 North, jump off on Sassoon Parkway, and there you are. Head on in for a beautiful showroom full of beautiful people. It's Mercedes-Benz of Fairfield, your local Mercedes-Benz dealer.
This holiday season, give the most eternal, unique gift of the year. Name a star after someone. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we'll name a star after anyone on your gift list. The star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office, and we will send an incredible personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333, or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
This is Nate Campbell, News and Program Director for Wind Down Media, and you are listening to KVON Napa at 1440 AM and streaming at KVON.com. Local news, sports, talk, and community connection for the North Bay. When news breaks or emergencies occur, tune us right in at 1440 AM or check out our sister station, The Vine, at 99.3 FM. And to get posted updates on emergency situations, follow us on Facebook. For podcast and broadcasting schedules, go to our website at KVON.com.
Wherever you go, just tell your smart speaker to play KVON, the voice of Napa Valley.
And we're back. It's 8:40 at KVON. It's the morning show for Monday, the 19th of November. Short week underway, and rain is coming. If you're just tuning in, you haven't heard the forecast. We're looking forward to Tuesday night. We're going to snuggle into our beds on Tuesday night and wait for the sound of rain on the roof. And hopefully in the overnight hours it will begin, and we'll have rain on through Wednesday and showers then Wednesday night and Thanksgiving Day and through the rest of the work week at least. Slight chance of showers still in the forecast come Saturday. We hopefully will see an inch or more total rainfall from Tuesday night through the end of the week. Currently, though, we have to deal with another day or two of hazy skies. We have 41 degrees at the airport right now with the hazy conditions and the air quality index at 169 for the Napa area. That's the unhealthy for everyone category, and we think we'll be in the unhealthy range probably all day tonight and most of tomorrow before we get that change in the air and the weather conditions from that coming rain. And then we turn our attention to traffic. Any problems out there? Well, we do have a couple of things working now. We've got an issue in Napa County that, it's actually across the county line, I think. Rommel Road, 121. Carneros Highway, non-injury accident occurring there. It's about, 45 minutes ago, probably still causing some residual delay, possibly. That's about all we have on the traffic screen, though. You're up to date on weather and traffic. And for the markets, it's a down start to the short week. NASDAQ's off 2.2%, 161 points. S&P's down 1.3% now, and the Dow has turned more negative. It's off 320 points, 1.25%. Big drop in home builder confidence being the accounting factor, according to MarketWatch. You're up to date on your basics right now at 8:42. We're continuing our conversation with Napa Mayor Jill Teckel, who's here with us in studio talking about local issues post-election. We touched on the issues about housing, having this new funding available for housing projects from the increase in the TOT. It'll be a while before we see that, of course, start to roll in. But what else in your priorities list when you're going into this new year with a new council? What's at the top of your list?
Well, yeah, part of it will be the onboarding of the new council members. We will have a retreat in early January where we'll begin the conversation of priorities and goals. We go in the two-year budget cycle, so we will need to create our next two-year budget by June. And so this will be a chance for us to see the folks that have been on the campaign trail, those of us that have been there, and sort of align the projects. We will have a special meeting, I think it's December 11th, Tuesday, December 11th, update on the City Hall project. Steve Potter has been researching, going back, putting all the pieces together about what the project was when it started, what it looks like now, what our long-term budget looks like when it started, what our long-term budget forecast looks now, so that we'll have all those pieces of information. There were a lot of questions. There are a lot of questions about the project, the idea of swing space, and where might you go, and how much will it cost. And so wanted to wait, so we're giving the new council a week before we bring this item up. But we know it was something that was talked about a lot on the campaign trail, and we need to look at the most recent information and decide what options we have going forward.
Mm-hmm. So the City Hall project right at the top of the agenda, it sounds like.
Yes.
Meeting specifically on that on December 11th. An issue that...
And we're also going to do signs in December, sign ordinances. Mm. There have been some challenges during the election with signs being in public right away. And in my mind, you don't put up a sign where you don't have permission. And you didn't have permission to put it on the public right away. And there was some argument over First Amendment rights. Mm-hmm. But we're going to clarify that in a sign ordinance that you can't put signs up in public right-of-ways and make that clear. What we have on the books now didn't specifically say mm-hmm. that, mm-hmm. so we are now going to move forward with that.
Okay, that's probably a good thing because that's essentially the public. That's public property. That's everyone's property, so you don't get to choose sides on public property.
Yeah, it really – and once it starts – you know, mm-hmm. everybody plops the sign down.
Right.
And so.
And the next thing would be parks.
Yeah.
And I have a right to put my campaign sign in the park.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you worked at City. You can't put campaign signs at City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you can put it in the right of way, City Hall right of way. So,
same thing, public property.
So we just, you know, and I think everybody's glad when the election's over and the signs come down for any reason. So.
Let's talk about Napa Pipe for a second. This is kind of. Faded from our everyday conversation, and yet I know for folks who drive over that Southern Crossing Bridge like I did the other day, and you look down there and say, what's going on? When is something going to happen? Where's my Costco? So what's the story on Napa Pipe?
And they say that to me, too.
Yeah, I bet they do.
Where's my Costco? So we got an update in I'm thinking it was June. On what was going on, what was going forward, and they had let us know that they were done with the cleanup and ready to move forward. That they wanted to have a discussion on the larger project about moving housing toward the Costco side of the property. Right now, the housing and the plans approved is on the other side, the side closest to the river. They're going to do the infrastructure and put the roads in and all of that infrastructure. They'd like, it would make more financial sense to put the housing over in that side, putting in the roads. So we're open to that. The city's open to it. That part of the property has already been annexed to the city, so we can do that. But we haven't seen an official proposal. At that point, when they came in, Costco had a representative at the meeting and reassured us in June that plans were happening and they were anxious to come. So, but I guess that's June and I haven't seen any plans and I haven't been invited out to do that groundbreaking. So, but we're staying on it. And, you know, obviously it's kind of a partnership with part of the jurisdiction, the city, the other part, the county, mm-hmm. but, we're working together. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I go to BCDC, Barrier Conservation Development Commission in San Francisco, and go with Brad. Brad's on that board, too. And so that was one of the subjects that we just talked about on the way to San Francisco. We solve a lot of the problems of the of the city county when we're on the ferry.
Yeah. Is Costco still committed?
When they were here in June, the district manager was there to say yes, that they were committed in coming. No. Yeah, I'm gonna go with that. And, you know, it was such an important piece of that project being approved and of the community supporting it and supporting the whole project. And when we moved the RUL around the Costco site, the developer, you know, used the come go. You know, you want this here, and you can get your hot dogs too. So. Mm-hmm. But people have a right to ask the question because it's been a while.
Yeah.
As I said earlier, our community development director has retired, and so we are going to be hiring a new community development director, and then we will have more staff availability to go in and get these things moving.
Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about the general plan update, which is not started yet, but we'll be starting fairly soon. What the general plan update won't address is things that are already in the pipeline, things that are already approved and entitled and permitted and so on. And that includes a lot more hotel rooms, as I understand it. How many more are already in the works, would you say?
Well, yeah, I had staff do a map once, and, you know, how many people have raised their hand and said, I'd like to build a hotel on my site? Mm-hmm. The number is large, and that's just the ones that I know of. And they come across, they'll be in the paper, they'll say, we've got a grand idea for our site, we want to put a hotel here. And I'll go to the grocery store, and people will go, Jill, there's another one. And I go, just because somebody says they want to put a hotel doesn't mean they will get approvals. And in fact, it is going to get very difficult. We have said, you need, if you're going to build a hotel, you have to show us how you're going to deal with housing. You have to help us provide more housing for the workforce. And right now, a project we just approved, the Trinitas, they were putting in, I think, they would have to, the fees would be $1.5 million. And you can maybe build 3 units for that. But instead, with their project, they were committed, I think, to 12 at the council, and I think they're going up to 20 units. So we're trying to, if you're going to come in, you want to do this, show us how you're going to help with that, with the housing issue. And the one we did just last week, the post office, you know, here's a building that we saved and worked really hard to save and got the federal government not to tear it down, which they wanted to do. And there are limited things that pencil out that make sense so the developer can save the facade and can save that part of history for Napa. So coordinating that with a hotel makes sense. And so we went, we're getting a lot of benefits from this one, a lot of things that are important to us. And so that one moved ahead a little more smoothly, I think, because of that.
Right, and it's understood in a property like that that there's limited potential. Other things don't make sense, dollars and cents, and so they won't happen. But coming back to the question, is it another 1,000 hotel rooms that are already approved for the city?
Well, if you look, you know, the Ritz site, Ritz, you go back far enough, you know, the former Ritz site. I think that one's 350, so that's a big mm-hmm. a big number. The Auberge Stanley Ranch, mm-hmm. yeah, that one's 100 or 150.
So you're at 500 or so already there.
Yeah, so those big ones kind of pop it up. The additional ones that are going out by the Meritage, I think that's another couple hundred. Mm-hmm. And I think those are the big ones that are entitled that haven't been built mm-hmm. yet.
And all the research and analysis from people who do that work shows that we can continue to fill that many hotel rooms here.
It did show that. It did mm-hmm. show that there was capacity. And we're not seeing a big – I'm not seeing a drop in tourism or TOT, which is sort of a way we can kind of measure it. But I'm hearing around the edges it's softening. And we certainly, with the fires and what's going on now,
yeah.
There's a group of people that aren't coming to visit mm-hmm. that were coming to visit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for building a hotel, it becomes, when does it make sense? When does it make sense that I can get the financing to do it? So as you can see, you can get approved and not hit the right phase of the market. And certainly the Ritz site has been there a very long time, and, you know, 15 years and not.
Yeah, and it was approved before the previous recession, which started in 2007-2008. So, yeah, it's been proposed for that for 15 years, I suppose.
Right. So, but it, you know, the ones downtown, it's changed the dynamic of downtown. There's people walking around, and you know, we've been able to get and keep restaurants downtown because there's a group of people that are walking around looking for places to eat mm-hmm. at night when we don't want to go downtown.
Yeah.
Downtown, and people will also say, you know, it's not the downtown I grew up in, and it's not. That downtown was pretty vacant. When I became mayor in 2005, I said, we need a downtown. Your central part needs to be beating. And it wasn't beating in the day. And there weren't people walking around. And I go downtown on some busy summer nights, and I just kind of giggle that there's so much going on, so many doing it, and mm-hmm. You know, being part of the community, and, you know, going the bypass and walking through Oxbow. I mean, we've been able to do some pretty amazing things and really create this vibrancy.
Yeah, and everything feels a lot younger. I don't know if that's a factor of getting older or if it's just the truth, but when you look at the people who are here, it's a much younger group than it used to be, and that's a really good sign. That's a healthy sign.
Well, we, you know, my kids, you know, went to school. Kids, school here, went to college, and would come here, you know, kind of to sleep and go back to mom's house and relax. And now that they've come and they don't stay home, they go out. And we've got a lot of younger people that are choosing to make Napa their home. Sure. And so that's nice to have that demographic want to come back and be here.
We're almost out of time. So a last topic, the Napa Valley Opera House is back in the news, and not for the reasons that you want it to be. Clearly, this particular entity it's not a public property, but it's sort of quasi-public, it feels like, right? Because of all the involvement of government in saving it way back when, and participation from the city and helping the project keep moving forward, the restoration, and then into the operation. What can you say about, if somebody asked you in the grocery store about the Opera House, what's going on, what's the story?
Well, they're trying to find a way to keep it open and to be able to have more access, especially to the upstairs space. That's been underutilized, and they're trying to find a partner that can unlock the usability of that space. I can remember I went to an anniversary, so this was like 10 years ago, maybe more, of the Opera House, and it was, you know, the 135th anniversary of the Opera House, and for 75 of those years, it was closed.
Yeah.
And I sort of said, it's not closing on my watch because it has a very bad track record of how long it stays closed. Mm-hmm. So we worked hard. I mean, it's a beautiful facility. I was in there last week for the film festival. It's a jewel for the community. We just need to find the right use that will go in there, that will keep it open and accessible for us.
Mm-hmm. So is the Opera House in danger of closing?
No, but I think they feel there's a better way, yeah, to for it to stay open and have the ability for groups to use it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, right. It's had many forms, and look back at those pictures of how dilapidated it was, wow, and what the community, John Richards and a group of community activists, really worked hard, and it's a jewel, and they're looking to see if there's another creative way to make it more successful.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're out of time. It's been a pleasure to catch up on all these things, and looking forward to the new council being seated and a new year beginning with lots to do. Napa Mayor Jill Teckel, thanks for coming in today.
You are very welcome.
And happy short week. Happy Thanksgiving. And
yeah,
all
you've
that.
Said that about 20 times. Short week.
I'm trying to make everybody happy. It's 8:59. That's it for me and for the KVON Morning Show for today. I'm Barry Martin. Thanks for tuning in. Stay tuned. Dorothy Salmon coming up with Dorothy's Community Table program, and that follows these messages. Have a great day.
Don't get sick is not a health plan. It doesn't mean you won't get sick. But when your health coverage is with Western Health Advantage, you're able to see the doctor or specialist you need to fast. We're based locally, so we work closely with our network of doctors and hospitals to make approvals happen without delay, which means you can get on